stood up with all the other Levites and priests, and he read the book of the law to the Jews that had gathered and rebuilt the wall. And when the book of the law was read, the people were very, very sad because they heard God's standards and they realized that they had been in Babylon or in the Persian Empire. They had been away for 70 years. And there was a whole different generation even, you know. And they heard the law and they were very, very sad. And this is what Nehemiah and Ezra say to them when they're sad. If you look at verse 9, Nehemiah chapter 8, I'm sorry, and verse 9. I'm just going to read a short passage to make this one point I want to make. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest, and the scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve." Then you see them realizing they're supposed to celebrate tabernacles, and they do that. But then 10 days later, they fast and they mourn and they confess their sins. We won't read it, but it's at the very beginning of chapter 9. You see the people having a different season where they are supposed to weep and be sad over their sins. So what the Lord was showing me was these seasons of weeping, seasons of celebration, and being in the timing of the Lord Yeshua, being in his perfect timing is very important. And I want to give you one example. When we went to Jacksonville, Florida last summer, that was the first time I saw that film, Hard Truth, which some of you were kind and brave enough to come and watch on Tuesday night this week. And it's available for those who want to watch it. But I'm just going to say this. It affected us horribly the first time we saw it. I literally went into a physical shock when I saw it the first time. And I went into a dark depression of my soul as I watched these scenes. The way last week Steve said when he saw those red dots on the paper of each one representing 3,000 babies killed, and it was page after page of red dots, he said the words, "A fear came over me." And when I saw that abortion film that first time, such a darkness entered my soul. I can't explain it, but I felt like I was in hell. And we all three went back to the hotel room to recover. It was lunchtime, and of course, you're not real hungry after seeing something like that. And we rested in the hotel room and recovered and comforted ourselves, you know, for like an hour. And then after about an hour, like, we were feeling a little bit better, and you know, I was ashamed, but I was hungry. You know, I was hungry, and I was starting to feel like I could eat at this point. But I felt guilty wanting to eat because we had just seen this horrible thing and I was not fully over the shock, but the Lord had healed me to a large degree. So I call home because when I'm out of town, I like to call my daughters and check in. So here it is like 1:30, 2 in the afternoon, and I'm starting to feel hungry for lunch, you know. And I call my daughters to just check in, and Karen goes, "You got an email. Do you want me to read it to you?" And I said, "Who's it from?" And she named a lady that goes to Hopewell Telford that I've never had an email from. A sweet, wonderful, darling woman. I'll just say it, her name, Margaret. She sent me an email for the first time, and Karen reads it to me over the phone. And this is what it says at that exact moment I just described to you. It says, "Jill, you've been heavy on my heart this week. The Lord has given me Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9 and 10 for you. I look it up and it says, 'Do not grieve and mourn, but go and eat and drink.'" Wow. You could have blown me over. She gives me, out of all the verses, out of all the days in the week that she would ever email me for the first time, she didn't even know I was out of town. She didn't know about the conference or the repentance or anything. And she gets that verse for me, and at the moment, she had sent it 2 days before, but the day my daughter reads it to me is when I'm feeling guilty about going out to lunch. And the Lord says, "Go and eat and drink sweet drinks." And we joyfully, I shared immediately was that just Dave and Kathy for that one, the Jacksonville? And we immediately went out to lunch and we were good. But here's my point. There is a moment to weep and mourn, but the Lord doesn't leave us there. So even if we come to the National Day of Prayer this Thursday night, and there's a heavy burden on our hearts and on Kathy's heart, our nation is in grave danger, and we do need to feel the weight of those red dots. You know, we do need to know the blood that cries out from the ground, and it is appropriate to enter great travail and weeping. That is right and good. But what I want to share with you is you won't go home depressed. Because if you voluntarily, it's sort of like laying yourself on the cross to let yourself enter the kind of pain that I felt the first time we saw Hard Truth. I wouldn't wish that pain on my worst enemy. Nevertheless, the Lord did not leave me there. He's too good. He's too good. Sadhu says he's three good, which doesn't make any sense. He's too good. So what I'm saying is, even if you enter into the legitimate sadness over the crime that we had, the innocent blood that we have shed, and you weep for America, he will still refresh you at the moment of his choosing. And you remember we had the Purim banquet, that Esther banquet, some of you were here. You know, we had wept and prayed for America and Israel all through like October, November, December, January. Some of us had fasted for 40 days, for the first 40 days of this calendar year, you know. And the Lord told Kathy in October that in March we would have an Esther celebration. Do you see how he told her ahead of time that there would be a season where we had the choicest foods and drinks here, for those of you that were here? Awesome celebration. There was no weeping. It was a time to celebrate. And then Passover is a holy celebration, and we did that. And now Pentecost is in 23 days. We are exactly halfway between Passover and Pentecost. And if there was ever a day of breakthrough and breaker anointing on God's biblical calendar, would you not say it was the Feast of Shavuot, which in Greek is Pentecost?
Yes, I would.
And isn't it interesting that he's sending me to go understand and possibly receive some kind of breakthrough impartation exactly halfway before Pentecost? And that's a time of celebration. But isn't there a time to weep and mourn? And then a time for those tears to create that open heaven. We won't get the open heaven only by celebrational worship. The Lord does love celebrational worship to some degree, but he values more, and this is biblical, he values more a broken and contrite, lowly, humble heart with tears, where we love each one more than ourselves, more than our stubborn pride, more than taking offense because someone isn't our cup of tea, you know, or taking offense because things don't go the way we want them to. We have to let our hearts break with the things that break his heart. And when his glory comes, we don't want to run away because he is preparing us now. And every hardship and testing and trial that you're going through now, don't waste it. Don't waste it by saying, oh, if only this trial would be over. That's how I always waste my trials. No more. We embrace our trials because if he didn't love us, he wouldn't discipline us this way. If he didn't bring us to a point where we know how to do weeping, worship, and warfare, we will not be ready for his glory. And I'm going to tell you the truth. If the glory doesn't harm you, you will leave the church out of discomfort. You will just walk away. You won't want to be in it if you're not prepared. Does that make sense? You will welcome his glory if your heart has been sufficiently humbled before him. Is humility one of the nine gifts of the Spirit that we're supposed to ask for? No.